Revelation chapter 1. We're going to be in many verses of Scripture today. We are going to read down through the 8th verse, but we will be beginning with verse 1. We got through the 3rd verse last week, but I want to begin with the 1st verse. Revelation chapter 1. We love to read the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the thing which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified to it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins by his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together and to study this book. And it's a sad day when folks don't have enough interest to come and want to be here on the first day of the week to come and study your precious word together. Father, there's many excuses that people use, but none are of any value. Father, we need to be here. We need to come, and we need to hear your precious word. And I thank you, Father, for the folks that are here, that have come to sit and to listen, to fellowship with you, dear Father, as they listen and pour over your precious word, your living word. Thank you, Father, for giving us the book of Revelation, that we may study it, that we may learn not only as things that have come to pass, but things that are here and now, and things that are to come. So please, just lead us through this. Bring those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior to salvation today. Bring them to that cross where you shed your precious blood to save us. A sinless man that hung on that cross and died for our sins and shed his blood, paid that debt, the debt, the price, the cost was death. You paid it in full. All we need to do is come by faith to you. Trust in you. Know that you are our Savior. And we will possess that wonderful salvation. Holy, holy, holy is your precious name. We need to lift that up to you. Guide and lead us today now through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin here as John is introduced to the 7 churches. The 7 churches which are in Asia, it tells us. These 7 churches are located in the western end of Asia Minor, bordering the Aegean and Mediterranean seas. It's said that this area where all 7 churches are located is about the size of Pennsylvania, and so it's not a large area at all. The seven churches which are in Asia does not mean that there are only seven churches in this region. There are other churches, and the scripture even lists some of those. But there are seven churches here for one purpose. The second and the third chapter represents seven literal churches and also seven church ages. And there are seven different parts or certain characteristics to each one of these churches that are brought for us to study today. And again, it does bring us through all seven church ages. These seven churches represent periods of time, again, as well as seven literal churches. Capital of this area is Ephesus. And so we know by studying back in Paul's writings that the church of Ephesus, or the area of the city of Ephesus, was great in idol worship. Why the number of seven? Brad took this out of my sails this morning after he covered in Sunday school class very well. And they just kept coming up. Somebody said, yes, seven churches, seven seals. They just kept a-coming. Well, I've got a couple more. Seven trumpets, seven vials, seven dooms, and seven new things that we're going to cover beyond what was already listed with the seven churches and the seven seals. Not only is the number seven found in Revelation, but it also we have the seven feasts in Leviticus. We also have in Matthew chapter 13 the seven parables. So many times we have this number seven. Why the number seven? Why not six? Why not eight? Because as you folks have been wonderful students of the Word of God, we know that the number seven is the number of perfection or the number of completeness. And so that is the purpose and the reason. So John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So this gives us a complete picture of what the churches were in that day and also the seven church ages. Then we come to these sweet words as the introduction here comes. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Grace and peace. We hear these words often through Paul's writings, and it is a joy to listen to these words. But do we really appreciate these words? Do we really understand that without the grace of God, we will be spending eternity in hell? It's just that simple. Without the grace of God, God's unmerited favor, He has shown to us His love and His desire to save, to seek out a lost people that have no desire for Him, that have no love for Him, that there is not one individual that's ever lived that was born with a desire to be saved. There was ever a day that an individual was ever born to have the desire to have their sins removed. We don't care. You want to know why the world is becoming more and more wicked? It's because the Word of God tells us so. And we are in the end times. You think of the end times being the tribulation period maybe, or the thousand-year reign of Christ that takes place after the tribulation. And that true, we could call those the end times, but we are in the end times, and we have been in the end times ever since our Lord and Savior ascended. We are in the end times. We talked about it so long, you know, the Lord is tarrying, you know, he's not, where is he if he's going to return and take his church? Well, understand the timing that is for our Lord and the timing for ourselves. Two different things. As we read last week, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day for our Lord. So it has only been 2 days. when it comes to our Lord. And so when he tells us that the time is nigh, the time is we are in the end times, believe it and know it. And if it not be for the grace of God, we would have no hope because we would burn in hell. Without the peace of God, our hearts would be most miserable. Understand, God gives us this grace and this peace. Grace is the source of all blessings. Every single blessing that we enjoy every day is from our God and by and because of his grace. The lost receive God's grace. We think of God's grace being just poured out on the saved. Well, the lost do not receive by any means the full blessings that they could have because they are ignoring salvation. They're not praising God. They're not receiving the wisdom and the peace and the joy. But God is still pouring out his rain and his sunshine. He allows the crops to grow to farmers that curse the Lord when the sun is too hot or the rain is too much. And yet he still allows a bountiful harvest to those, as well as many people that are very, very active in business and very accomplished in business. It seems that they just, whatever they touch turns to gold. Well, why are they so blessed? Well, they're not. They are receiving God's grace, God's joy, God's unmerited favor to live in this life and receive the blessings. But there will be a day, and they are missing out on so much because they have rejected the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They have rejected the opportunity of possessing the salvation and the peace that comes. And so peace is something that every born-again believer has the right to possess, the right to enjoy. Why do some believers not enjoy and possess that peace? It's because they're still depending upon the things of the world. They have not turned it over unto the Lord and said, God, it's yours. I'm yours. It's yours. Your blessings is all mine. So now give me a joy and a peace, and he will. So to sum it up, the scripture verse does that very well for us. Grace and peace comes from him which is, which was, and which is to come. So as you look at that fourth verse, understand that that is the sum of grace and peace. Through him, by him, and all comes from that, which is, which was, which is to come. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, we need to understand that the eternal existence of our God, God's eternal spirit, God's always been, God always will be. And then it says, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, you can go back, and I would like for you to, because we're going to move on to the fifth verse here. We're going to spend some time later in Isaiah chapter 11, the first five verses. So you can go back sometime this week, and because it'll be a little while before we get there, to really spend some time with those seven spirits which are before the throne. But you can go back, if you'd like to do some pre-studying, go back to Isaiah chapter 11, the first five verses, and read that. I think you'll enjoy it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It cannot be any clearer than that, how salvation has come. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. We have studied many times John chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. We know by 1 Corinthians 15 And again, if you'd like to look this up this afternoon to do some studying, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's 30 verses in there that explain to us the first begotten of the dead. And what a wonderful study for that. And as we look at this fifth verse here, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, you can find that. So look up John 1, 1 and 1, 14. Look up 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 30. And then he will be the prince of all kings. The prince of peace is in Isaiah 9, 6. And so you can look that up this afternoon, Isaiah 9, 6. And then we have, of course, the very end of this section, and that is of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Him that washed us. Him that loved us. He loved us before we were lovable. We hated him. We despised him. And yet he loved us so much that he went to the cross of Calvary and died on that cross, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Don't ever deny in the Sunday school class in Leviticus there why we're always talking about the blood sacrifice, the offering of the blood and the necessity of the blood and sprinkling the blood seven times, the completeness of it. And so you'll find then a joy that cleanses from all sin, 1 John 1, 7. So once again, so that you can you look these up, we started with the seven spirits in Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, and then we went to John 1, 1, John 1, 14, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 30, Isaiah 9, 6, and then cleanses us from all sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And then we know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Find that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. We are redeemed by his precious blood. Another wonderful area to read, and we're going there because it's not far from Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The power and the strength of the precious word of God. So when we look at this verse of Scripture in verse 4 and 5, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. John is to write to these seven literal churches. There was a purpose for John, and John was not only giving them this instruction, he was to send it to each one of those churches, but then it was recorded for you and for me so that we may enjoy it as well. To seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a precious verse of Scripture. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we went to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. We also are going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. As it spoke here in verse 6, made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. We're going to go to chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Peter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a wonderful promise. And we need to realize that we are those witnesses. We should glorify the Lamb. He came into the world and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary to save you and me. What a joy. The Lord has a glorious plan. And that glorious plan includes two comings. In verse 7, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. You'll notice that He picks out and points out a certain people, the Jews, that pierced Him. But we have two times of His return. And there is a definite period between the two. The first coming is what we call the rapture, the time when Jesus is going to come and get us, get the saints. What a glorious day that will be. And then the revelation is when He comes with His saints. So we have two comings. Now we're going to look up many verses of Scripture. That's the reason that I gave you those other verses of Scripture earlier, so that we could take time to look at these. And let's look first at the rapture, at when He's going to come and receive His church, all believers. Go to John chapter 14, verse 3. John chapter 14. Verse 3 gives us a promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful promise. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So we have John 14:3, and we have Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now let's go to one that's a little more familiar with to us, and that's 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. Let's even start with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall first rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that sweet 18th verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:23. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they which are Christ at his coming. What a beautiful promise. The time, there is a wonderful time when our Lord and Savior is going to meet us in the air, and every blood-washed, blood-bought believer will be received up. Those that are in the grave will go first, then we will follow if we remain. There is another coming, and that coming is what we're referring to here in verse 7. This verse 7 is not referring to the rapture of the church. This verse 7 is referring to his time when he's going to plant his feet upon the earth. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Because you see, the day that he comes to get his church, this world's not going to see him. We will meet him in the air in a twinkle of an eye. That wonderful trump. But those of the world will not see us leave, nor will they see or witness the Lord Jesus. Got some wonderful verses of scripture here. Jude 14. Jude chapter 14, verse 7. It's hard if you were awake. Jude, verse 14. I love this one. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's in Jude. Now, let's go to Zechariah. We got some wonderful Old Testament scriptures here, too. Zechariah, see if we can all find Zechariah. We should have done the books of the Bible this morning. All right, Zechariah 14, verse 5. Zechariah. We're going to start with the fourth verse. Zechariah 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives, which cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with thee. What a beautiful scripture verse. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Look at the promises that we have here. Now let's come back to Revelation. We'll go all the way to the 19th chapter. Revelation 19. Beginning with verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. The armies which were in the heavens followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, Come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, that which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Come with me to Daniel chapter 13. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Understand, I am dyslexic. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came in the ancient to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We know that there is a coming of the Lord, a return. Every eye shall see him. We know that there'll be a day that every knee will bow. When the rapture takes place, no eye upon earth will see him. Not one single lost person. When the trump sounds, the voice of the archangel will call his saints to meet the Lord, to be with him forever. And then we find the second coming, the time when our Lord and Savior plants his feet upon this earth. And we are about to see the steps and the stages that's going to take place. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. This is the second coming, not the time. Both are referred to as the second coming, but his first coming was in the manger in Bethlehem. The second coming is when he will come, take the church away, but then there will be a time period of 7 years later. He will return and plant his feet upon this earth. We need to know the time period here, what he's talking about. This is all being shown to John. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The description of the return, we're going back to Zechariah 14. We'll read that at a later time. We're going to close now. But the prophets through the Old Testament spoke of judgment and glory. They were not told of the 2,000 years that we have been enjoying with the presence of the Holy Spirit. They had no idea of what was to take place. The church age was a mystery to them. The Apostle Paul is what brought that to light. As we come to the close of the church age, we find that Jews and Gentiles alike will become more and more wicked and more evil. And we are seeing that in our time. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Isaiah 60 verse 2 tells us that very clearly. We know that it's coming. And so please understand that there has never been a greater time for us to study the book of Revelation. There is never a greater time for us to be a witness to and for the Lord Jesus, taking his word out, because the time is so soon to come when he will call us home. And I don't believe we want to leave anybody, even our enemies. We do not want to leave them here upon this earth. Or we do not want them to face death and go right into eternity, unto the place of torment, awaiting their final home, the lake of fire. We are the messengers of the gospel. It was said in one of my studies that, and we'll come to that point when we find that we are the stars and the messengers. And the statement that was made was that, when do you see the brightness of the stars? Not in the daytime. They're up there right now. How many stars can you see now? But the darkest night is when the stars are the brightest. We are coming to the place of this earth, and the people of this world are becoming more and more darkness, more and more wicked. That's when we should be shining the brightest, as the preachers and as Christians stand for the truth, the Word of God. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and we'll begin there next week, as we enjoy what John is about to see, to witness firsthand. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come today and enjoy your precious word. We have taken much time in preparing here just to get started with the study of the seven churches and then on into the rest of the book of Revelation. But we need to see how great you are and how glorious you are, and how weak and simple and unworthy of all this that we are. And yet we are given such strength and power to go out with your word, to live in this wicked world and proclaim your word. Give us that strength. Give us that grace. Give us that peace. Speak to all of our hearts now today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.